ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरम् लोकशंकरम् शंकरम् शंकराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्र भाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम देहात्म भावे ज्ञडजौ समानौ देहात्म भावे ज्ञडजौ समानौ एकस्य देहे हृदि दीप्त आत्मा एकस्य देहे हृदि दीप्त आत्मा आक्रम्य देहञ्च जगच्च पूर्णः देहञ्च जगच्च पूर्णः परस्य मेयं तनुमात्रमात्मा परस्य मेयं तनुमात्रमात्मा Here, this verse talks about the perspective of a jnani and an ajnani, wise person and an ignorant person. So, jnaha, in this verse, the jnaha, he is the wise person, jadaha, an ignorant person, with reference to having eye sense in the body, they both are the same. Wise person also must, for him, wise person also must have identity with the body. Ignorant person also has identity with the body. Which means that they both have eye sense in the body. So, dehatma bhave jadajau samanau. It's not that jnani does not say that I am not the body. Jnani says I am not the body. It's not that ignorant person says I am not the body. For both of them, there is dehatma bhavaha, this essence in the body. Which means, for both of them, whether a wise person or an ignorant person, for both of them, the waking state experience is there. The jnani does not deny the experience of the waking state. Ignorant person also cannot deny the experience of the waking state. The waking universe is there. Experiences are all there for both of them. And also, the experience of the dream also may be different, but still experience of the dream also is there for a jnani. Jnani also may have dreams, ignorant person also may have dreams. The dream experience also is possible for both of them. So, the experience is not denied by a wise person or by an ignorant person. But ekasya dehe hridi deepta atma. But for the wise person, the self, the truth of I, is in fact the all-pervasive reality, obtains in his own mind as pure reality, the consciousness, which is distinct from all the three states of experience. There is no time for a wise person, Atma, the all-pervasive reality, is always there as his, the very Swarupam, in his own, as in terms of, in the, as consciousness, in his own mind, as the witness of the mind. Because three states of experience, each state of experience undergoes a change. All the three states of experience are mutually exclusive, they're discontinuous. So, in all the changing, discontinuous, mutually exclusive experiences, states of experiences, there is changelessly the self is there as pure consciousness in his own mind. The consciousness is there in his own mind as witness of the three states of experience, is in fact the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence in all the beings, in all the minds. For him, Atma is not the body. For him, Atma is... He does not say, I am not the body. Wise person does not say, I am not the body. But for him, the truth of I is the our consciousness. Whereas, not only that, but consciousness, the truth of I, the self, which shines always in his mind as witness, the unchanging, the consciousness, witnessing all the changing states of experience which is there, not only does it pervade the entire body, not only in his mind, but pervades the entire body and also the entire external world of objects also. For him, the reality is the consciousness, which is the truth of I, which pervades his body, mind, complex, and which is pervasive of the entire universe. Therefore, in his understanding, that alone is reality, and everything else is what now, what about the world? He does not deny the experience of the world. The world is not... The world is mithya for him. Whereas for Ajnani, this perceptible physical body alone is what? Physical body alone is the Atma. Which means, for a ignorant person, the I sense, this, for him the Atma, the truth of the I, for him is just the physical body. Just the physical body alone is the truth of I for him. What is I for a wise, ignorant person? Just the body. Not the consciousness, not the awareness. And even though, therefore, for both of them, the world of external world of objects is there, the experience of the world is there. Both of them have the experience of the world. The ignorant person for whom the self is just the body, but the wise person for whom the self is not just the body, the self is the awareness which is distinct from the body, mind's complex, but at the same time non-distinguishably pervades the body, mind's complex, which is always there as the witness or the unchanging witness of the changing, mutually exclusive, discontinuous states of experience. For both of them, and for him, both of them, the world, the experience is there, but the difference is, for a wise person, the experience to world is mithya. For a jnani, the world is very real. The experience is real. So for him, it's only paramarthikam satyam, it's only vyavaharikam satyam. It's only empirically real. Whereas for a jnani, it is absolutely real. The world experience is absolutely real. Which means, for a person to look at this world as empirically real, relatively real, not absolutely real, he has cognitively negated the world. Even though he has cognitively, intellectually negated the world, he does not say there is no world at all. He does not deny the experience of the world. So negation of the world does not mean the denial of the experience of the world. You can experience the wave, experience the ocean, still you can say what? Wave is mithya. Water alone is satyam. Like that, the wise person who experiences this world negates the world as mithya, but still he does not deny the experience of the world. The same way, that's why for a wise person, for a jnani, the experience of the external world is very real. Body is very real. Both of them have eye sense in the body. But the thing is, for a wise person, body alone is Atma. Whereas for a ignorant person, body alone is the Atma for him. Whereas for a wise person, body alone is not the Atma. For him, the Atma is the pure awareness, which is distinct from the body minus complex, which is there as the witness of the three sets of experience, and which is not only pervades the body, which pervades the entire cosmos. Therefore, in experience, there is no difference between a wise person and an ignorant person, but in perspective, you know, there is a difference. The difference in perception, but the non-difference in experience between the wise person and the jnani actually is presented here in this verse. Therefore, the next verse, that's why the same thing is continued in the next verse. So the others who are not following the text don't need to worry, just you can listen to the unfoldment. And then you can leave the verses, okay? Don't worry. It's only one class, you had to excuse me. Agnyasya vignyasya cha vishwamasti. Agnyasya vignyasya cha vishwamasti. Purvasya drishyam jagadeva satyam. Purvasya drishyam jagadeva satyam. Parasya drishyashraya bhutamekam. Drishyashraya bhutamekam. Satyam prapurnam. Satyam prapurnam. Pravibhatyarupam. Pravibhatyarupam. Agnyasya vignyasya cha. Agnyasya vignyasya cha vishvamasti, vishvamasti, purvasya drishyam, purvasya drishyam, jagadeva satyam,
jagadeva satyam,
parasya,
parasya,
drishyashraya bhutamekam,
drishyashraya
bhutamekam, satyam prapurnam,
satyam prapurnam,
pravibhatya rupam,
pravibhatya rupam.
He uses the two words agnyaha vignyaha. Agnyaha means ignorant person, vignyaha means wise person. So agnyaha, ignorant person, vignyaha, wise person. for both of them, Ajnasya, Vijnasya, for both of them, Vishwam Asti. Vishwam Asti means what? The universe is very much there. The universe is real. For ignorant person also, universe is real. For wise person also, universe is real. Why? The world of experience is real. The experience is very real. Which means, for none of them, the world is unreal, non-existent. The world is not unreal for a wise person. It is not something non-existent for the wise person. Even for a ignorant person also, the world is not non-existent. For both of them, it is very much there. It is very real. It is real. Vishwam Asti. But when you say for a wise person as well as for a ignorant person, the world is real, what does it mean? Purvasya drishyam jagadeva satyam. For the ignorant person, the objective universe, drishyam jagat means the experienced objective universe alone is real. It is absolutely real for an ignorant person. For ignorant person, the world is drishyam, absolutely real, jagadeva satyam. Whereas, for a wise person, the objective universe is not unreal, but still it is not absolutely real also. Then what is absolutely real for the wise person? Drishya ashraya bhutam. For him, the truth of the entire universe, without which the universe cannot exist at all, the truth of the universe, the existence, which is the awareness, which alone is satyam, which pervades in and through this entire universe, that alone is absolutely real. So the existence, the awareness, the consciousness, the reality which obtains name of the existence of the entire universe, pervading in and through the universe, that awareness alone is absolutely real, which alone shines name of the universe for him. Therefore, the universe is not absolutely real, but it is only empirically, relatively real. Therefore, for both of them, universe is real means, for Ajnani, the universe is absolutely real. Whereas for a Jnani, for a wise person, universe is not absolutely real, but it is only empirically real, relatively real. Why? Because for him, what is absolutely real is the reality, which is the very substratum of this entire universe, obtaining in him of existence, and which is nothing but the pure awareness. He does not mention that is the satyam prapurnam pravibhati arupam, and which is of the nature of formlessness. Therefore, the formless reality, the obtaining of the existence of the universe alone, is absolutely real for a wise person. The formless reality, the pure existence, which pervades in and through all the forms which constitute the universe, which alone is absolutely real, whereas the universe constituted of the forms is mithya, it only relatively empirically real. And this empirically real universe is absolutely real for an ignorant person. This is what the verse says. And here, what we need to understand, what he wants to say is, why the universe is absolutely real for an ignorant person? Why it is not, he is not able to see like the wise person? Because he lacks the wisdom. He lacks the wisdom means what? He lacks the vision of the truth. He does not know the truth of the universe. For him, the Namarupas, the names, forms and functions which he experiences are very, very, very real, absolutely real. Why? Because he does not see the underlying reality, the truth of the universe. The reason why? Because he does not know the truth of his own self, the truth of one's own real nature. He does not know his own real nature. Therefore, it is very important for one to see the mithyatvam, the universe being empirically real. One should see one's own real nature. Therefore, unless and until one has the vision of one's own real nature, there's no way of arriving at the truth of this whole universe being the same true reality. Thereby, there's no way of seeing all the forms and names and functions, being mithya. Therefore, even though experience is the same for both wise person and ignorant person, but the perspective, the change which is very important for one to enjoy the freedom, that is not possible if one does not have the vision of one's own real nature. Therefore, that's why for a jnani, for both of them the world is real. But how you see that real world means, it is not, even though he's experiencing, it is not absolutely real. It is only empirically real. It is exactly like how, when you are seeing the ocean full of waves, experiencing the ocean, experiencing the waves, for you, what you're experiencing, the waves are real, the ocean is real. Other person who is standing next to you, who sees the water, for him also, he also sees the water, but he also experiences what? The waves and the ocean. But the difference is, the one who sees only the waves and the ocean are, the ocean full of waves is very, very absolutely real. Whereas the person who sees the water, who is also experiencing like other person, the waves and the ocean, for him, the ocean full of waves is not absolutely real, it's only relatively real, because for him, the water, which is distinct from all the forms and names in terms of ocean and waves, is distinct but not distant, which pervades in and through everything, that water alone is absolutely real. In the same way, here also, one who has recognized one's own real nature being consciousness, and one who sees thereby the consciousness being the existence of this entire universe. And that for him, existence, the reality obtaining of existence of the universe, which alone is absolutely real. All the forms and names, the functions, which are in and through pervaded by existence, which constitute the universe, they are not absolutely real. They are only mithya, empirically, relatively real. This is what is the teaching of the 18th verse. The next verse is an important verse. Always people are asking questions about these two things. Destiny, fate and free will. Is there something called free will at all? There are people who say, no, there is no free will at all. There are people who say, yes, there is a free will. And there are people who say, no, everything is determined by only fate. There is no free will. So there is a big confusion about this thing. The question about free will and no fate, that is really discussed in the following verse. And Ramana Maharshi really, he touches this point here. Videh prayat प्रयत्नस्य च कोऽपि वादः विदेह प्रयत्नस्य च कोऽपि वादः तयोर्द्वयोर्मूलमजानताम् स्यात् विधेः प्रयत्नस्य च मूलवस्तु संजानताम् नैव विधिर्नयत्नः. इट्स् वेरी इण्टरेस्टिङ्ग् टु नो दिस्. नो There always a big argument all over debates about what? The fate and free will. Videhe, vidhi here means fate, prayatnaha means free will, kopi vadaha. Whether there is a free will, if there is a free will, which of the two is greater, more powerful? Is fate more powerful, or is, you know, the free will more powerful? Which is more powerful? So this is a big, all the time there is a big arguments and debates people have. Actually speaking, Ramana, he says, tayoho dvayoho moolam ajanatam. Only people who do not know the truth of vidhi, the fate. What this fate is all about? Where does the fate exist? Who is the one who is going to do this fate? And what is the free will? Where does the free will exist? What is the truth of the free will? What is free will is? If you really understand, try to understand what this free will is, where does this free will exist, where is it located, who is the one who has this free will, who is the one who is employing this free will, if you analyze this, then the free will disappear. If you analyze, ask this question, what is this vidhi, what is this fate? Who is going through this fate? Where does the fate exist? What is the location of it? If you analyze, fate also will disappear. Fate and free will both will resolve as mithya. So all you have to go through the problems ordained by your fate. Only as long as there is a ajnanam, self-ignorance is there. How long do you have to go through the problems determined by the destiny, the fate? Only as long as ajnanam is there. Similarly, how long, when do you need to use your will? Is it clear? Therefore, what he says, the both will resolve if the person understands the truth of free will and fate. They will resolve. For the wise person who knows the truth of one's own self, who knows his real swarupam, one's own real nature. And thereby the one who knows the truth of this, the whole universe being one of the same reality, for him there is no vidhi, there is no fate, there is no free will also. Okay, the one who knows the truth, for a wise person there is neither the problems caused by fate, determined by the fate, nor does he have the problem of employing his free will. What does it mean? This is the literal meaning. Let me tell you. Let us take first vidhi. Vidhi means the vidhi the fate, we say when we go through, people, when we go through problems in life, our pains or pleasures, the paths of opposites, when we go through the desirable experiences, when you have desirable ends of the paths of opposites in terms of pleasures, when life is full of pleasures, you are successful, you are victorious, you are making profits in your business, then that time we never think of fate. Only when we go through undesirable situations, we talk about the fate. Vidhi. In fact, vidhi need not be thought of only when you go through the undesirable situations. When you go through desirable situations also, which are determined by your own punya karma, as a punya karma phalam, and undesirable situations are determined by the same vidhi, same law, as a result of the papa karma. So vidhi, the law, the natural law, which determines the desirable situations as a result of punyam karma, punya karma phalam. The same vidhi determines the undesirable situation in one's life as a result of papa karma, wrong actions. Doesn't matter how they would have been done, whether knowingly done, unknowingly done, intentionally done, unintentionally done. However, some desire, right or wrong actions of the past, they have produced phalams, and the fruits of those phalams, as a result of the fruit, that alone, the vidhi, what now, determines your present situations you go through in life. Therefore, here we say, and how long, we call it paradham karma. And we still say what? This is something called sanchitam karma. We all have sanchitam karma in our account. Which means sanchitam karma means what? The karma phalam, the fruits of actions of the past lives which have not yet been exhausted. And we do not even know how many lives we have. We have this a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. So many times we must have been born before. We are again born now. And even if we kick our bucket in the present janma, still will be coming back next janma. We had to be 100% sure we will be coming back. Not only we have come back, we must have been coming back again and again and again and again so many times before. And we have come back again now, and we will be coming back again and again. That's why Bhagavad Gita tells us what? Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho dhruvam janma mrutasya cha tasmad aparihāryerthe. Aparihārye arthe aparihāryaha arthaha. Non-alterable, non-changeable. What is non-changeable? Definitely you will be coming back. You have come back. You came back many times before. How many times? You can't count. Why you cannot count how many times? Because it is there's no beginning point. Because beginningless, endless cycle. Life is a beginningless, endless cycle. In that beginningless, endless cycle, one must have come many times before. Again, one has come back. You can talk about the past from the standpoint of the present now. You can talk about the future from the standpoint of the present again now. So not only now you have come back, this is not the last life for you. You will be coming back again in next. That is the non-alterable fact. Jatasya mrityuhu dhruvaha. Mrityasya janma dhruvam. Which means how we come back every time. That's why we all have what? We all must have performed lots and lots of karmas, the actions. They might have been right actions, wrong actions, knowingly done wrong actions, unknowingly done wrong actions, unintentionally done wrong actions, or knowingly, unintentionally, unknowingly done right actions also. So all the right and wrong actions must have produced what? Their own phalams. And we might have definitely exhausted lots and lots of punyam papams already in the past lives. And definitely there must be what? There must be lots and lots of punyams and papams which we have earned as a result of our own right and wrong actions, knowingly or unknowingly done actions, and we must be having. We might not have exhausted the fruits also. So those, the fruits of actions which have not had been exhausted, which are the actions of the past lives, which have formed the Sanchitam Karma. Sanchitam Karma is there. And who determines these fruits of actions? We say the natural law. Therefore, and as a result of that, the Sanchitam Karma, only one portion of Sanchitam we are exhausting, and that is called present life. The present life, when you can talk about the Sanchitam, Prarabdham, Agami, the present life, only in the present, what you are going through is what? The Prarabdha Karma Phalam. So in this life, after you are born, your very birth itself is what? Determined. Definitely it is not untrue. It's all relatively real. Empirically real. The present life, the present birth itself has been determined by what? Determined by your part of the karma phalam, which is a part, one portion of Sanchitam. The birth, and now what you're going through now, so until the end, the death, all is determined by part of the karma. In between birth and death, whatever pains and pleasures, experience we are going through, so all Parabdham Karma Phalam. Definitely. This is also Parabdha. And now, Shastram says what? While exhausting the Parabdha Karma Phalam, whatever karma you are doing, using your will, and definitely attracting again new Punyam and Papam. Now, being exposed to Shastram, you are very, very conscious of not doing anything wrong knowingly. So definitely, we are accumulating new punya papams also, which is going to become agami karma phalam. The present actions, the fruits of the present actions, which form the agami punya papam, and agami will become what again? Will join the sanchitam. Sanchitam will never get reduced, diminished at all. It will always be big sanchitam. Therefore, we will be again continuing with what? Our lives will be continued. So, we'll be going through Prarabdha, we'll be accumulating Agami. Agami will be joined the Panchitam. Like this, that is why this is called what? Bondage of Karma. There's no way of not performing actions. There's no way of not being able to, there's no way of not collecting the punya papams, accumulating punya papams. There's no way of escaping from the exhaustion of punya papams. Therefore, we had to be born again and again. This what is said to be what? Bondage of karma. Karma bandha. And going through experience, so the exhausting punya, being born, not to exhaust the punya papams, and then you go experiencing the pains and pleasures in life. Experiencing both in life is what? We say again coming back, it's called samsaraha. This bondage of karma, this life of transmigration. As a result of, this, determined by what now? This karma is what we say what? Bondage of karma or samsaraha. Now, definitely, we say what? Vidhi determines. And some people ask, what about this? So there's no point, we don't need to talk about the will at all, Swaminiji. You have made it very clear. It is all determined already. Our karma determines our birth. Our karma determines our what we are going through in our lives. So death is determined by karma. So where is the free will? So why should we talk about the free will at all? Now Shastram says what? Yes. What has been already done, that cannot be changed. The past karma, definitely, past karma phalam will be coming into your, now you have, will be, you are coming. In the name of the Parabdha, you have to exhaust the Parabdha karma choicelessly. Because you have no say over the karma phalam. But how free will can help you? See, if the free will, at present, in this present life, you can use your knowledge of right and wrong. In this present life, irrespective of what others do to you, irrespective of what you are going through in your life, what a situation you are placed in, you can use your knowledge of right and wrong. You can always choose to do the right, refrain from the wrong. Thereby, your agami will be what? You are accumulating only punyam for agami. You are avoiding accumulation of papam for agami. And this avoidance of accumulation of agami papam by using the free will at present, while exhausting the Parabdha, while living this present life, going through Parabdha, exhausting the Parabdha, when your question of action comes on your part, by using your free will, your knowledge of right and wrong, when you exercise that knowledge of right and wrong, when you exercise your free will, definitely you can always choose to do the right, you can avoid the wrong, thereby you accumulate what? Agami punyam, avoiding the agami papam. It's not just you are accumulating agami punyam. The more and more you do the right actions, the more you avoid the wrong actions, the more you are living in conformity with dharma, the more you are living in conformity with the, your life is in tune with the universal natural law and order Bhagavan, the more you don't transgress the values, the more you are in harmony with the, your life is in harmony with universal natural law and order. The more you are in harmony with the order, the more you can tap grace of Bhagavan, which means the sharper you will be intellectually. Actually, it be possible for the one who lives a conscious, righteous life, definitely the intellectual sharpness will be possible. Thereby you'll be qualified for jnanam. This also, you know, you'll be qualified for jnanam. Thereby you can attain, accomplish the jnanam. There's no way of accomplishing jnanam without living a life of dharma here. That's why living a life of dharma implies what? Using your free will all the time. That is why Shastra, there's no way of living a life of dharma without using your will. You have to live a very, very conscious life. We are living a life of dharma, you are living a conscious life means you are using your free will. You are making the best use of your willpower. You are not abusing the faculty of choice. You are not abusing. You are making use of the will. That's why you live a life of karma yoga, we say. Anyway, that's why Shastram emphasizes there is free will. And there are times if the what is ordained by Parabdha is more powerful, sometimes even the free, what you, in spite of your you being righteous also, you may have to go through the ill effects of the karma phalam, but still the commitment to dharma will help you overcome all that. That is second, all in the relative level. But what he says here is, in jnanam, for a wise person who knows the truth, if you know the truth, what happens in the wake of the knowledge of the reality as one's own real nature, when then naturally your identity with the body, mind, sense complex will be resolved. Not physically, cognitively. Physically what? You still have identity with the body, mind, sense complex. You have to say that my body is aching, back is aching, front. Even a wise person will have all the physical problems. Okay? The wise person also will, definitely wise person will have all the problems the ignorant person also has. The only thing is, the perspective change he has, which is different from the ignorant person. For the wise person, there is no doership or enjoyership. When he recognizes the real nature, thereby when he understands this reality of the whole being one and the same, when he understands the whole Jagat theory is manifestation of knowledge, there is no truth other than the knowledge, the consciousness. Therefore, the whole universe is what? The manifestation of knowledge. There is no I, the experiencer, which is not the manifestation of knowledge. The I, the experience also is what? Manifestation of knowledge. What about the experience, which is also manifestation of knowledge? What about the experience, the universe, which is also manifestation of knowledge? For the one who sees everything as manifestation of knowledge, for a wise person, everything is manifestation of knowledge. The consciousness, the reality. Which means there is no I, there is no experiencer, knower, other than knowledge, the consciousness. There is no experience which is not the manifestation of knowledge. There is no experience to universe, a world of objects, which is not the manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, everything is manifestation of knowledge in the vision of a wise person. Therefore, when you look at everything as manifestation of knowledge, the knowledge manifest is Ishvara. Therefore, in the wise person's vision, all that is here is only Ishvara. When everything is Ishvara, means where is I there? Where is I? Where is the individuality? Where is you? So relatively for him, the differences are there. But still absolutely for him, there is no difference. Therefore, there is no... who is the doer now? For him, the doer is Ishvara. Enjoyer is Ishvara. Enjoyed is Ishvara. The doing is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Therefore, there is no doership or enjoyership on the part of one's own self. The wise person is free from doership and enjoyership. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the experiencer. The notions are not there. Because he is free from these notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. For such a person, there is no punyam and papam also. For him, punyam is Ishvara, papam is Ishvara, pain is Ishvara, pleasure is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara, Bhagavan, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, where is fate? Where is Vidhi? Where is Parabdha? For him, wise person, Parabdha is Ishvara. Sanchitam is Ishvara. Agami is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Everything is Mithya. Everything is only manifestation of knowledge. The only manifestation is what? That they're all empirically real, but not absolutely real. Where is the free will? Who is the one who is using the free will? There is no free will, is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. And that knowledge, which is the truth, the source of the manifest, all these innumerable manifestations, is what? One and the only consciousness, which is the truth of I for him. Therefore, Ramana Maharshi says there's a big debate about will or fate and all these things. All these problems will be there only as long as ignorance is. You don't need to break your head to talk about which is superior, which is more powerful. Is the will? Of course, will is definitely you can use your will. There is will. You have to use your willpower for you to live a consciously a righteous life, to live in tune with Bhagavan, to tap Bhagavan's grace. You can't say there's no will at all. At the same time, there is definitely ordained by fate, the karma, part of the karma, determined by the natural law. Okay, there is fate, there's no doubt about it, but still that does not mean you can never be victorious over fate. In jnanam, use your will, live a consciously righteous life, prepare your mind for jnanam, accomplish jnanam, in jnanam resolve your individuality in totality, the Ishvara, and see everything as Ishvara, and then you see yourself being free from the doership and enjoyership. You see yourself being free from the fate. You are free from will. There's no will. There's no fate which affects you. You are free from will. You are free from the fate. Therefore, he says, for the one who has understood the truth of the willpower, the truth of the fate, for him, there's neither fate nor the willpower. What is there is only Ishvara, which is manifestation of knowledge, which is absolutely pure knowledge, the pure consciousness. All that is here is only Brahma. So don't waste your time in debating which is superior, which is more powerful, which is less powerful. Work for jnanam intelligently. So no vidhi, no fate can do anything to a jnani. Fate cannot touch, go near the jnani. So jnani need not worry about being conscious of using his willpower. You know why? He is free from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Does not need to accomplish jnanam. Wise person who has already accomplished jnanam need not worry about accomplishing jnanam, worry about accomplishing moksha. For him, moksha is not even end for a wise person. You know why? Moksha is already his swarupam. Therefore, for the one who has understood the truth of the whole, as the truth of the willpower and the truth of the very fate, as the truth of one's own self, for such a wise person, there is no vidhi, there is no fate, there is no willpower. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
We won't break our heads hereafter. Willpower or fate? Should I make efforts to do something against the fate? You can. But you can't undo the fate. Change the fate. You need to undo the fate also. Then you need not work very hard. Worry about exhausting all your punya papas. Don't need to worry about it, okay? My God, how much punya papam I have in my account? How long will it take for me to exhaust all of them? Shastram says, come on, don't worry about the punya papams you have in your account at all. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, how much ever papam you have, sarvam jnanaplavenaiva santarishyasi, sarvam vrijinam jnanaplavena santarishyasi. How much ever papam you have in your account, doesn't matter. You have only papam, 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 papam. You are a greatest sinner you stay. In jnanam, when you free yourself from the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, you free of the wrong notions. My God, you're free. You have no punyam, no papam. No parabdha, no hanchitam, no agami, no vidhi. no effort is required on your part for what? Once you have taken ownership of moksha as your real nature, your own swarupam, you don't even attain moksha in jnanam. You recognize the freedom, moksha being all your limitlessness, being happiness, being a very swarupam. You have to have the assimilated vision of your swarupam being already limitlessness, fullness, moksha. Once you taken ownership of it, then what do you need to achieve in life? Nothing needs to be accomplished after discovering moksha in one's life. Therefore, you need not make any efforts. Therefore, there is no prayatna, there is no will. You consciously, you effortlessly live a life, a contributive life. A wise person's life is effortlessly lived, a life of contribution. Therefore, there is no vidhi problem for him. So, better focus on the jnanam. Okay, now let me do one more verse so you can.
Yadishitur vikshanamikshitaram avikshatan manasike kshanam syat.
Ishituhu vikshanam ikshitaram avikshya tan manasika ikshanam syat. Let me tell the meaning of all these words first. Ishita, let me tell you all these words, then I'll explain the meaning of this verse. Beautiful verse and very beautiful meaning, but you need to know the words first. Ishita. Ishita means the Lord. Ishita means the Lord, one who rules. Ishaha. Ish. One more word is what now? Ishita. Takaranta shabda. Rikaranta shabda. Ishitru. So Ishita means the Lord, the God. Ishituhu vikshanam means, vikshana means seeing. So vision of the Lord. Ishituhu vikshanam, vision of the Lord. A vision of Ishura. Ishura darshanam. Bhagavat sakshatkaraha. Vision of the Lord. Seeing the God. Ikshitaram. Next word is ikshita. First you saw ishita, then vikshanam, seeing. Now I said what? Now let me tell the words first. Ikshita. Ikshita means the seer. Ikshate is a verb. So ikshadhatu root. So ikshate sees. Ikshita, the seer. Ikshitaram, avikshya, without having seen, without having recognized, without having seen the truth of the seer. If you want to see who the Lord is, who the God is, then you should see what you are first. Ikshitaram avikshya, without knowing the truth of the seer, there is no way of seeing the Lord. Without knowing the truth of the seer, there is no way of seeing the Lord. Which means, in order to see the Lord, know the Lord, who understand who Bhagavan is, then definitely you should ask this question. You should know who the seer is, who the knower is, who is the one who wants to see the God, who is the one who wants to know the God. Who is this knower? Who I? I am. I want to know who the God is. I want to see who the God is. That means if you are the one who want to see the God, and you ask this, then you should know what? Who is this seer? Who is the knower? So without knowing, without seeing the truth of the seer, there is no way of seeing the God. That's what he says first. If at all somebody says, not knowing the truth of one's own self, not knowing the truth of the seer, if somebody says, I'm seeing the God, that means it's only what? It's only manasika ikshanam. It's only one's own imagination, one's own projection. Manasika ikshanam is only one's own projection. It's only you simply say, I see the God here. I see the God. You can see the God definitely, no problem. But who is the, have you see, do you know who the seer is? If you say, I am the seer and I see the God, if you say, you have not really seen the God. Because without having known, having recognized the truth of the very seer, there is no way of arriving at who the God is. So what he tells in these first two sentences, if you want to know, if you want to see who the Lord is, who the God is, then don't ever break your head, wasting your time in anything else. But best thing, first thing what should you do is discover the truth of the seer, the knower. First, please see, look into this. Who is this seer? Who is this knower? Who is this one who wants to know who the God is? Then, if you arrive at the truth of the knower, if you arrive at who the knower is, what the seer is, you know, then definitely you will arrive at, you have arrived at already what the God is. So what he wants to say, knowing the truth of I, first of all, you distinguish I from the non-I, distinguish the self from the non-self. You are, no, you really foolishly, you mistake the whole body, mind, and complex for yourself. You first of all distinguish, ask this, what this I is. Definitely see, understand what the, how the knower is not the known. Distinguish the I from the non-I. Self, understand what the I is not first. Understand first what the self is not. No, distinguish the Atma from the Anatma. First of all, understand what the self is not. The understand, then try to understand what the self is. Distinguish the knower from the known. First of all, learn to distinguish the knower from the known. Understand what the knower is not. Definitely the body is also known. Knower is not the body. Knower is not the sense organs. Knower I is not even the mind. Knower I is not the pranas. Knower I is distinct from even the body, mind, sense complex, which is also what? The part of the objective universe. Because body, mind, sense complex also objects of knowledge. Therefore, the body, mind, sense complex has to be included as part of the objective universe. Then you distinguish the knower I. Now you don't know this. You know, you only know knower I am. But what I am, you don't know. What you are not, we have very clear now. After going through this Triktrishiveka Prakriya. Therefore, once you discover, what Tamarishi emphasizes here is, distinguish the knower I, experiencer I, the seer I, from the known body, mind, and complex, which is part of the objective universe, and then ask this question, what this knower I is? What the knower am I? Then arrive at the truth of the knower I. Okay, once you understand, you will definitely stumble upon what? The awareness, the consciousness, the pure knowledge as the swarupam, the truth of I. How, when you look into the way, what this wave is all about, you will arrive at what? Stumble upon the water, the H2O. Then you will say what? The wave is only a nama, rupa, non-substantial. The truth of the wave is water, the H2O. In the same way, the way I, the knower, is a temporary status. Really speaking, there is no I, is also what? A thought form. I is a thought form, a given thought form. And if it, and there's no the thought form, okay? Really speaking, there's no truth other than consciousness. When you arrive at the truth of the I, the knower, then you arrived at the truth of the whole being the same truth. And arriving at the truth of the whole is what? Arriving at the whole universe being the appearance of the same reality, the truth. Understanding the whole universe as the appearance of the same reality is what? Understanding Bhagavan. Arriving with Bhagavan. Ramana Maharshi says in the very first sentence, there is no way of seeing the Lord without having seen the truth of oneself. Okay? Any effort you make to know the God without knowing yourself will be what? Endless search of the Lord. And if at all you say, without having recognized your nature, if you say, I have seen the God, then which means it's only your own mental projection, imagination, manasika vikshanam, it is not real, it is not the fact. It is not real. You really have not seen the God. Then he says, Drashtuhu anyaha na paramaha. Eh, there is no Lord, paramaha anyaha na drashtuhu. There is no Lord other than the truth of the seer. There is no Lord other than the seer. My God, the seer is the Lord. The seer is the Lord. There is no Ishvara other Ishvaraha Bhagavan, the Lord God other than the seer. The knower. The knower is not the known body. That is the problem. Now leave the I also now. Just take this word experiencer, knower. You talk about the knower. There is knowledge. There is experience. There is a world of objects of experience. But there is experiencer, knower. Who is this knower? The knower experiencer is not the gross body. The knower experiencer is not even the subtle powers of knowledge. The knower experiencer is not even the powers of organs of actions. Knower experiencer is not the actions. Knower experiencer is not the thoughts. Knower experiencer is not even I, not even this. The knower experiencer is not even I and not even this. Because there is a time when there is no I. In deep sleep state there is no knowledge I am. In deep sleep state, there's no knowledge the world is. There's no world, there's no I sense. Even when there is no I sense or this sense, even then there is a knower, experiencer. Because of whose presence, the knowledge I am being not there is known. The experience being not there is experienced. The experience is possible. That knower is only the status attributed to the reality, the standpoint of the presence and the absence of the world and objects of experience, really speaking, there's no knower other than consciousness. The only knower, how many knowers are there? How many seers are there? The experiencer, knower, seer is one, and the only experiencer is consciousness. Otherwise called knowledge, arivu. There is no knower. We want knower means we think of somebody eater, runner. Mean the person who runs. One who runs is runner. One who eats is eater. Somebody big, somebody big form must sit in front of you and be involved in the act of eating, gulping. Then you say eater. But here knower. There is no formed knower with the form. You know that? The knower, if you really ask, knower is only a status, temporary status, attribute to the reality. From the standpoint of the objects which shine in the reality. The knower is only awareness, the consciousness, and which is the truth of the whole universe, in which the whole universe shines. Therefore, the whole universe is also what? Appearance of the reality. When you look, understand this fact of the entire cosmos, the entire objective universe being the manifestation or appearance of the reality, the consciousness, that this is what? This is what is God. There is no God other than that. So Krishna, he says very hard words, na drashtuha anyaha paramaha. There is no paramaha, drashtuhu anyaha paramaha nasti. Parkindavane kattilum paramparul veri illai. Nalla vaarthadu. Parkindavane kattilum paramparul veri illai. And parkindavan paramparul dhan. The parkindravanaga iruppadu paramparul. The one who obtains as the seer is the reality, the consciousness. There is no seer, there is no experiencer other than consciousness. Even though consciousness is not the seer, consciousness is not the knower, knowledge is not the knower. Knowledge, I use two words, knowledge and consciousness. Okay, better let me use consciousness now. The awareness or consciousness is not the knower. Is not the seer. But the only seer is consciousness. The only knower is consciousness. The one who obtains as the knower is who? The consciousness. For without having arrived at, having distinguished the seer from the seen, without having understood very clearly what the seer is not, you can never arrive at what the seer is. And without having arrived at what the seer is, there is no way of arriving at the whole jagat being the appearance of the reality. And without having arrived at that, there is no way of arriving at God. There is no God other than the seer. Every time you are experiencing something, that is experience, the one who obtains a seer in your own mind is who? Very truth of you is who? The Lord alone. There is no fraction of second. Lord is not there. I really see, as I am telling you, I am seeing the fact. If there's a fraction of second, you are lacking experience. There's always experience. Which fraction of second you are free from experience? Tell me. In waking experience. Dream, there is waking experience. Deep sleep state also is experience. There's always experience for you. And then in every state of experience, there is experiencer. And that experiencer, that knower, is who? There is no knower other than consciousness. In fact, knower is a state, temporary qualification attributed to the consciousness. The standpoint of the experience. Actually speaking, the standpoint of consciousness is not even experience. You understand, the consciousness is the truth of you, the individual I, the truth of the entire universe, the truth of every being here, the small and big, visible and invisible, perceptible and imperceptible, the truth of everything in and through that which pervades everything here, that is always there, is this reality, the consciousness, pure knowledge. Therefore, what? The whole universe is appearance of the truth alone. When you understand this fact, you have arrived at the Bhagavan. There is no Ishvara, God, other than this truth of the knower. So he says, Drashtuhu anyaha paramahana tasya viksha swamule praviliya nishta. He says, tasya viksha. So, arriving at the truth of the very experiencer or knower, and thereby resolving the very knower status in that consciousness, the truth, resolving the very essence in the reality, then what happens? That's called what? Resolving one's identity in consciousness is what? Resolving individuality in totality. And it is a cognitive resolution of essence in consciousness, arriving at the truth of the knower, resolving the knower status in consciousness, thereby resolving the individuality in totality, seeing everything as Ishvara, is what? Nishtha. This is called what? This is called assimilation of the vision of the fact that all that is here is only Bhagavan. He says, Swamule praviliya nishtha. That's what? Remaining absorbed in one's real nature. That's what is remaining absorbed in one's own real nature. Okay? It's a beautiful verse. See, Ramana Maharishi is very blunt. He just says, don't search for God. Okay? Search for the truth of yourself. So, I'll continue later on. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.